So how to break through your back squat plateau. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about strategies for strength, endurance, and muscle growth. I'm going to be breaking this down into, first off, I'm going to be covering how to break through specifically your one rep max. I'll be going over four separate strategies there. Then I'm going to go into building squat endurance. Now, this will be helpful for those of you who kind of burn out during workouts or your legs get fatigued really easily. The third point I'm going to be talking about is how to put on muscle and tone the glutes and hamstrings specifically if you're going for more of an aesthetic look. Then I'm going to be covering gaining just overall strength, kind of a balance of both worlds, and I think that's kind of what everyone's goal is. And then finally, I'm going to be wrapping up with the top three most common questions that I get all the time regarding back squats and breaking through plateaus specifically with the back squat itself. So first off, if you don't know me, I'm Matt Benward. I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California. I've been coaching for 17 years, pushing 18 years now. And I've helped over 10,000 people during that time reach their health and fitness goals. Let's dive right in. So let's go right into our first piece here. So we're going to be talking about breaking through your one rep max plateau. So first off, that it's common and it's going to happen at some point, regardless of what level you're at. And if you're pushing hard and you're following a program to the T, but for some reason, the weight just won't get heavier. The key to breaking through the plateau typically lies with two main things. It's either your strategy and your approach, or it's your nutrition and recovery. And I'm specifically not going to be focusing on that. I'm going to be specifically focusing on only the training aspect today. We're not going to get into nutrition at all. So first off, let's talk about the first strategy is here is you can incorporate variations to your training. So you just need to switch up like the style that you're training. And surprisingly, you can actually break through plateaus by using front squats because sometimes that the front squat loads you in a different way, especially in the midline. So the front squat will challenge the midline and will strengthen your upper back because you're stabilizing. You'll also target the quads more because it's front loaded rather than loaded on the posterior chain. So that's one strategy you can start incorporating is to be varying that up. And we do this all the time. If you're actually following one of my training programs at Red Wolf, we do our best to balance out both realms. Integrating pause squats. Now, this is something that our gym is on a current cycle with as of the date of this recording. Pause squats are excellent because they work on several things. And what they the big one is surprising that people don't know about is that it actually really helps your mobility. So it by pinning yourself under heavy weight in a pause position at the lowest point of the squat, you're stimulating the glutes, the hamstrings, the adductors, the ankles, and you're actually stretching those out because the best way to stretch is actually through some sort of external help or resistance. And so that's why you see like gymnasts or professional Olympic weightlifters or coaches will actually stretch them because that is the fastest way to get more mobile rather than just kind of doing it yourself or just using your own body weight. So when you have an external load like that and it's bearing down at you in the bottom of the squat, your hip mobility will improve naturally. Box squats is another great way to build strength because what it does is almost slightly deactivates you. So when you're in the bottom of a pause squat, you're still active because the muscles are stretched and there's really nothing supporting you. Whereas on a box squat, when you sit, there's a slight moment, even though you should be staying active, that there's a slight moment where you're not fully active. So it forces a different kind of muscle contraction. So it's almost like a kind of a deload to the load. And then you have to contract very violently and quickly again, almost like an Olympic lift when you drive back, drive the weight back up. And those variations can challenge your muscles in new ways, and they can really help you break through that sticking point. Now, everyone's going to have different specifics, so I'm not going to get into that. That is something that you'll have to consult with a coach with. If you have any questions or you come to my gym, please talk to me. I'd be more than happy to chat with you more about it. Now we're going to talk about the conjugate method. Now this is very advanced, and this comes from Louis Simmons, a powerlifting coach, and I've done the conjugate method before and it definitely works. However, this is a little bit more advanced and this is for someone who's been training for a very long time. So if you're kind of intermediate or beginner, definitely incorporate variations like I talked about earlier. Let's say you've been lifting for years and years and years and you squat frequently, then the conjugate method is probably for you. And what this method is, it's basically rotating through different squat variations, rep schemes, and intensities over a cycle. So for instance, you might spend a week focusing on just speed. So you're actually be using a lot lighter weight, and all you're working on is a violent muscle contraction. And you're working on lifting that weight as fast as possible. So let's say you come down and you want to drive that weight almost like a jump squat, but you're at like close to 60, 70% of your one rep max. The conjugate method also incorporates bands. So think of like the bands that we use for pull-ups. And what that does is just adds resistance to the top of the lift. So for example, you put bands around the bar and you're squatting, and as you rise, the resistance gets harder. So that's another great way, especially if you're struggling with standing up the weight on a squat, then bands are another great way to do this. And we're not talking about ridiculously heavy bands, like bands that, you know, you can barely feel the resistance, but you're still standing up, and it makes the movement more dynamic as well. And then there's another week of like heavy or max effort lifts that can just lift something heavier to stimulate the nervous system more. And that will, heavy max effort lifts are always great to do in order to consistently progress, because gives you instant feedback on where you're at. And then a third phase on this would be volume with moderate weight. So, you know, hitting anywhere between the 3 to 12 rep range for conjugate method. I think it's lower. It's more probably in like the 2 to 8 rep range, I'm assuming. I can't remember because I haven't done it in so long, but it's just it kind of varies, and they change it every week in roughly different cycles based on the individual. Third point in this on breaking through one rep max is to work on weak points. So just like with anything, if you can't narrowly define the problem, you can't solve it. So you have to identify where you really struggle with at what point in the squat itself. So is it coming out of the hole? Is it that mid-range? I see a lot of people usually struggle in that mid-range, at least when they start to get stronger. And, you know, when you work on strengthening those specific points with targeted accessory exercise like good mornings, glute bridges, or pin squats, you're able to break through those plateaus really quickly. And again, that's going to be highly individual. So again, consult with a coach before you identify what you need to work on the most, and they'll help you identify that. And then finally, the last one is cluster sets. Now, this is something that we incorporate every once in a while into our training. We definitely do this a lot more with our personal training and individual training here at Red Wolf or in Build and Burn. Cluster sets. Now, cluster sets, basically this involves breaking down your heavier lift into smaller, more manageable clusters. And these can be any amount of reps. It doesn't matter. It can be singles. It can be sets of three. Doesn't matter. So here's an example is that instead of doing a set of three at 90% of your one rep max, you break this into three sets of one rep with a short 10 to 15 rest period in between. So you actually will re-rack the bar, and then 10 seconds, unrack it, and then squat again. So think of it like a cluster of singles, and then usually you'd rest about 2 to 3 minutes, and you'd repeat that anywhere between 3 and 5 sets. And what this does is it basically allows you to lift more weight with better form, because clearly if you did a set of three at 90%, your one rep max, if it is a true 90%, the form will break down a little bit, or the speed will slow down on your third rep. So that allows you to be consistent across the board, both in form and speed on all those lifts. Let's move into building squat endurance. So building squat endurance, it not only helps you with higher rep ranges, but also increases your overall work capacity. And this is really important for CrossFitters and people who are going for longevity. And so here's some three main strategies on here on how you can build that rep endurance. And the first one is tempo squats. Now we do this a lot in Build and Burn. We do incorporate this in the classes, although not all the time. And basically what this is, it slows down the eccentric, or that's a fancy word for the lowering phase of your squat. And you want to do this in about a 3 to 5 second count. And these are typically done with rep ranges that are 5 reps or under. Anything above that, and then it's just hard. It's not that it's wrong. It's just that it's a lot harder to keep count, because you're counting, like if you're doing a set of 8 and your tempo is 5, it's really easy to lose count, especially if you're doing the tempo correctly. And what this does is it increases the time under tension and forces your muscles to work harder throughout the movement. Okay, so, and time under tension equals better muscle growth, better strength gains. It also builds tendon ligament strength. And we've talked in length about tempo before, so I'm not going to get too much into the details of that. Our second thing that you can do to build that endurance is to do high rep back off sets. So After your heavy work sets, you can drop down to about 60 to 70% of your one rep max and perform higher rep sets aiming for probably 10 to 15. I would even say up to 20 reps. And this method not only builds muscle endurance, but also improves your cardiovascular conditioning. Because when you hit, I mean, you know, if you're at a decent percentage of your one rep max and you get in, like you get 5+ reps and the weight's bearing down, your lungs are compressed, your muscles need more oxygen, the heavier you're going to breathe. That's going to build some work capacity there for you. And one of my favorite variations or squat cycles that is very simple that you can take away from this is I like to build to a heavy single on a pause squat. So that way I hit kind of like the heavy one or max. I kind of work on my mobility and I stimulate my nervous system. So it's like kind of an all-in-one for a heavy single. And then after that, either I'll do maybe one or two back off sets, same reps, but still the same pause. And then after that, I'll finish off with a 20 rep max back squat. And that's served me really well because I get the benefits of going for a one rep max without overloading myself because it is a pause. I'm working on my mobility and my midline strength. And then on top of that, I back off on weight and do 20 reps. And then I try and just add 5 to 10 pounds every week on both of those lifts, both the pause squat and the 20 rep max. That's something I've done for years with both my clients and myself. And it's a great way for breaking through plateaus because you kind of get the best of both worlds. And then circuit training is our third one, or just CrossFit training in general. Just incorporating squats into full body workouts, squats, lunges, deadlifts, and moving from one exercise to the next with minimal rest will help build overall muscular endurance and stamina. And, you know, that's just CrossFit for you. So we're not going to dive into that too much. Let's move into our next piece, which is putting on muscle and toning the glutes and hamstrings. So this is more for if you're specifically looking for aesthetics, then this is something you'll definitely want to listen to. So developing well-defined glutes and hamstrings squats really are one of the best exercises for that, for targeting those areas. And they're also going to save you time because I love isolation exercises, don't get me wrong, but it just takes forever to get through. And so here's how to maximize muscle growth and definition. So the first one is volume is king. So when it comes to muscle hypertrophy, or overall just muscle growth in general, then it's highly dependent on volume. And I think this is the one thing that everybody needs more of, because when you want to put on any amount of muscle, or you want to quote unquote, everyone who doesn't want to tone, people grossly underestimate the amount of volume that it takes to get there. And you have to incorporate sets of 8 to 12 reps minimum, if not higher. And then the weights should still be really sticky. So basically you should be making funny faces on the last 2 to 3 reps of every set. Otherwise, it's not really do anything. And the problem is a lot of times when people do 3 sets, what happens is typically, if I have you do 3 sets, one set is almost borderline a warm-up set. Set number 2 is a little bit moderate, but it's doable. Like you're not really struggling too much, but you feel it. And then the 3rd set is finally the hard set when you're adding on some weight. When really in reality, every set needs to be tough. So that's why sometimes we'll go higher on sets specifically to stimulate more growth. Like if I write 7 sets, I know at least 4 of those are going to be tough. So really, you just have to pay attention to things like that. So if it does say 3 sets, that means 3 hard sets. Don't count your warm-up sets. If it's an easy set, if you're not making funny faces, then don't count it as a set. Number 2 is you can add isolation work. So we know squats are a fantastic compound movement, but we don't want to neglect isolation exercises like RDLs, glute bridges, and hamstring curls. You could do these with a band. These movements target the glutes and hamstrings more directly, and they enhance muscle development and balance. And these are great because they're a lot easier on the nervous system. So you have to remember that when you do large compound movements like squats, deadlifts, bench, like the Olympic lifts, that it's both a neurological and a organic adaptation that's happening. And a lot of times when you do a lot of it, especially under heavy loads and under high intensity and high volume, the nervous system can kind of take a toll. So that's where isolation work is a great accessory piece to this, because you can still train those muscle groups directly without burning yourself out mentally. That's also a nice way to get extra volume in. Like if you have a lower volume day, For squats, you can always do a little bit higher volume on like glute bridges and everything, because it's not like a high skill or high nervous system requirement for that workout or that style. Now, third, we're going to talk about the mind-muscle connection on this piece. So when you focus on engaging your glutes and hamstrings during the squat, and you really focus on driving through your heels and squeezing your glutes at the top, then this intentional focus can enhance the muscle activation and growth. And I think that this is something that people really get lazy at, myself included, is that like I'll just do it for the sake of doing it because I've done it so many times, or, you know, you're just tired or you're just being lazy that day. And, you know, run through your checklist every time. So one of my checklists before I lift is always breathe, brace, lift. And then I always run through checklists when I'm coaching as well. So it's like squeeze the quads, squeeze the abs, squeeze the glutes, quads, butts, and guts, you know, squeeze all those, because you don't realize how easy it is to be like kind of sloppy with that until you're like, oh, I am activated. Oh, now I'm activated. Okay. So if you're going to do it, you might as well get the most out of it while you're doing it. You know, if you can take something from a 90% effectiveness to 100% just by activating more, then why not do it? Again, I'm just kind of spitballing numbers, but, you know, do it the right way the first time. So let's move into gaining overall strength. So this is going to be my last piece before I move into my three most common questions that I get on squats. So lastly, let's not forget the ultimate goal for most of us, which is to get stronger, right? So you want to get stronger. And the definition of strength is the productive application of force. And to maximize your strength gains in all those in different realms, both in one rep max effort and both in that modern range effort of, you know, that 4 to 8 rep range, and then the 8 to 12 rep range plus up to all the way up to 30 to 50 reps, we're going to have to use progressive overload first off for everything. So basically what that means is you gradually increase the weight that you lift over time. And this is a tried and true principle that works for anything. So this can mean just adding like 2.5 to 5 pounds on the bar each week, or increasing your reps at the same weight. You can increase your sets. It just means adding a little bit more on the next training session. And then the key is to be consistently challenging your muscles. So basically, if you're doing the same exact workout or the same exact weight every time, then the chances of you actually making progress is very low. Number two is move through strength phases. We do a really good job at this and at Red Wolf. This is something I'm really proud of, because we really dialed in our systems on how we design training programs to where we're getting a lot of good classic CrossFit in, but we're also running a traditional strength cycle to complement that in order to get better at CrossFit. And I think we learned very early on that just random CrossFit workouts aren't going to cut it, and they're not going to make people progress. And so when you have structure in your training phases, meaning that you're actually designing training programs anywhere between 4 to 16, whatever weeks, that's usually just a typical range, is that you're alternating between a strength-based focus cycles using heavier and low reps, you know, like the 1 to 5 rep range, and hypertrophy or muscle growth cycles, where you're doing moderate weights at higher reps for like 8 to 12, all the way up to 20, even 30 reps. And what this does when you kind of flip-flop and you move through these different phases, now, of course, there's specifics in there in between that we haven't discussed, but the periodization helps prevent burnout and keeps your body adapting. So, for example, let's say you can even alternate weeks with this. Like, you know, on week one, you know, we're doing heavy 1 to 3 reps. The next week, we're doing, you know, a heavy set of 10, heavy set of 20, and then we're right back to just doing a heavy single then the following week on the third week. So that can happen as well. And finally, our third point here is that recovery is essential. So never underestimate the importance of recovery. This is another neglected portion that people have, especially when you're doing compound exercises like this, is that strength is built during the rest, not during the workout itself. So you're literally making micro tears in your muscles. Your nervous system is being fatigued. You're going to an oxygen debt, especially if you're doing a lot of heavy CrossFit workouts. So you want to make sure that you're getting enough sleep, you're eating a balanced, rich, high-protein diet, and you're incorporating recovery techniques like foam rolling and stretching into your routine. And I really think that the stretching and foam rolling is really the hardest part. I recently have made a commitment to stretch a little bit more and to specifically foam roll more. And I've only been doing it for like 2 days, but my legs feel significantly better, especially because I'm on my feet all day. And I really spent about 30 minutes rolling out my quads and my calves specifically, and I feel so much better. And then Your body will thank you later. Because when you have to think about when you accumulate all this volume and you're doing progressive overload, you're going through strength phases, your body's gonna get your body's gonna tighten up. And the last thing you want is to either get injured because you're so tight, or you're just lack mobility, or you're just tight in general and you're not recovering as well. You need to stimulate oxygen and blood flow to those tight muscles in order to recover, and that will also in turn make you stronger as well. Let's wrap things up here with our three most common questions. So here's the three questions, and I'll answer them one by one. I'll just make this quick before I wrap things up. So question number one is, how often should I squat to see improvements in my one rep max? Question number two is, should I always train to failure to break a plateau? I love that question. It's a really good specific question. And then, how can I build endurance and strength at the same time? Love that one as well. So before I get into it, everyone, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. So many of you have taken the time to either talk to me in person or shoot me a DM saying that you really enjoyed it. I really appreciate that, because I have no idea if people actually like this or not. So if you do like this, please share it with a friend or leave me a review. I'd really appreciate it, because anytime that happens, it keeps me motivated to keep making content like this. And I want to continue to help you, and I have no plans to monetize this in any ways. I just want to help and give you guys all my knowledge and information for free, so you have it for the rest of your lives and you continue to pursue health and fitness. So let's get into our first question. So how often should I squat to see improvements in my one rep max? And this really depends on your experience level. So beginners will definitely benefit from squatting up to 2 to 3 times a week, if not every day. And not everyone will be able to take it every day, but I have done squat cycles where I've squatted twice a day. And that's one thing that broke me through my plateau. So one squat cycles I did heavy, it was under 3 reps every time, it was at 3 or under every time, and only 3 sets most. But I would do heavy front squats or back squats in the morning. And whatever I wouldn't do in the morning, I would do again about 6 hours later. So if I front squat in the morning, I back squat at night and flip-flop back and forth. And I found that training cycle online. That's one way I broke through my plateau. If you don't have the availability to do that, then just add more frequency, which is 2 to 3 times a week. At the minimum, if you want to, especially want to break through that one rep max plateau. And you can't just do this randomly. You would need to actually be on a structured training program to monitor rest, reps, recovery, volume, intensity. So definitely talk to a coach before you just start throwing weights on there and squatting 2 to 3 times a week, because you could get hurt, or you could just not make any progress at all and just waste your time. So if that's something you're interested in, just talk to me. I will help you out. I haven't covered advanced lifters. So if you're advanced, you know, you can get away with squatting once or twice a week at varying intensities. And again, it's going to be highly individual. Just like advanced lifter is such a broad term, and that can mean anything. So it's really highly dependent on the individual, and you won't know until you actually consult with someone who's actually trained people before. Question number two. So should I train to failure to break a plateau? Now, this is a great question, and it's a yes and a no, which I know is not helpful, but not necessarily. So training to failure is definitely useful, okay? Those of you who've done the Widowmaker cycles with us, if you don't know what Widowmakers are, it's a 20 rep max back squat cycle. We do it every winter to build strength. And that is when we literally train to failure. And this can lead to burnout and injury, but as long as you train to failure intelligently, it can be done. If you do train to failure, it should only be one set. And with squats especially, or any large compound movement, it's something that can eat you alive pretty quickly, especially if you're using progressive overload. So again, consult with a coach first before just throwing on weight and training to failure. Every training program should follow a structured style of, you know, quality of reps, progressive overload, and structured periodization. So yeah, do both. But if you do train to failure, consult with a coach. And if you're not on a structured training program for your own safety, do not train to failure. Or at least you want to flirt with it, but don't actually go to failure. Number three. So how can I build endurance and strength at the same time? I love this question because you definitely can. I love this question just because, you know, who doesn't want this, right? I mean, everyone wants this. And you can, but it requires very careful program design specifically tailored towards you. When we design training programs for our classes, it is a general template for everything, because we're just trying to, we have, you know, 200 plus people doing this training program, so it has to be somewhat broad. If you're looking to do both at the same time and you're looking to make progress faster, that's where some sort of individualized training program comes in, or like you can sign up for a build and burn program, or you can work one-on-one with one of our coaches. But you can include endurance-focused workouts on some days and then strength-focused workouts on others. And I know that's kind of broad, but I don't know who I'm training. So you just have to be mindful of your total workload to avoid overtraining. So the general rule of thumb, though, and I'll give this to you, is that you typically want to accumulate anywhere between 10 to 20 tough sets per week if you want to break through a plateau. So if you're only squatting 5 heavy sets a week of squat and you want to increase your one rep max, or you want to build strength and endurance at the same time, that's definitely not to cut it. And then a coach will help you progressively move your way up. So eventually, so a short-term way, we would want to build you to 10 hard sets per day. And rep ranges are going to be dependent on the individual. So we'll rest times, tempo, and what else did I say? Reps as well. And then on top of that, when you're doing the strength-based focused and you're doing endurance focus at the same time, you're going to have different variations. So, and it's going to depend on how you react to the initial set of training. So you might have to go through a phase of either where between 1-3 weeks, you're working only on one rep max strength, and then a phase of 2-3 weeks of where you're working on only muscle endurance strength. Or you can alternate weeks, like I said earlier in the podcast, or what you can do is you can alternate training days. So you can have a high rep day, a low rep day, or a high rep week, a low rep week, or you can go through an entire training cycle of one or the other. And you won't really know how that works or if it will work for you until you try. And then definitely do that under the guidance of a coach, like I said earlier. But both can definitely be done. It just has to be done right. It has to be tailored towards you specifically. If I were to do it, I would personally do it alternating weeks. Just kind of spitballing out there, like I think for 80% of the population, that would work. So you would do high reps, like accumulate 10 to 20 sets, probably more like 10 to 15 heavy sets of higher rep squats. So we're talking about that 8 to 12 range. Probably wouldn't want to do 20. Only one set of 20 is good enough. And then the rest of the days, you're doing anywhere between like that 5 to 12 reps of ranges, depending on your advancedness. The rep ranges will vary. And then the following week, you would be under, I would have you under 4 reps, preferably like in that 1 to 3 rep range. There's really no reason to go above that. The 5 rep range, the 4 to 6 rep range is great, and it kind of builds a combination of both. But if you're trying to build both at the same time, you might as well go high and you might as well go low. So that's just my 2 cents on that, at least from the clients that I've trained. So I hope this was helpful. Please leave me some feedback and let me know if you like this one. Be more than happy to talk more about training methodologies and how to break through specific plateaus, whether it be on specific movements, fitness, or nutrition. And that's all I got for you today. So thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave me a 5-star review so I know to make more content just like this. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit and DM your content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, good luck. Have fun. Nailed it.